Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective, and more affordable than you might think. Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America, here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically, this is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
Hour number three on the investusa.org microphone. This is Lock and Load, and we are speaking now with writer Dean Weingarten. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Bill.
So, excuse me. I don't know why I was choking, but I was choking. So, let's kick off with this thing. I saw this, and I didn't get a chance to read it all the way, but I've looked at some of this. And so there's a debate that occurred between John Lott and somebody named Sanford Levinson. Now, is Sanford Levinson an anti-gun sort of dude?
He's a kind of honest liberal.
Right.
He is famous in the Second Amendment community for writing an essay that legitimized academic research into the Second Amendment back in 1989. The essay was entitled The Embarrassing Second Amendment, and it was published in the Yale Law Journal. And basically it said, hey, you know, all these people that are talking about the Second Amendment as being a fundamental constitutional right and applying to individuals, they might have something there, essentially.
Right.
And since Levinson is a very well thought of scholar, he is, and that was 89, so that was over 30 years ago. He was already highly regarded as a scholar, especially on the left. And so when he wrote that in the Yale Law Review, a lot of people were like, what? Wait? Second Amendment might apply to individuals? What? And it really legitimized the academic inquiry into the Second Amendment that completely destroyed this idea that the Second Amendment was only about militias and only applied to militias, not to individuals.
Right.
So he's been around the Second Amendment debate for quite a while. And John Lott issues challenges for people to debate him fairly regularly. And generally, nobody wants to take him up on it.
Right.
But Professor Sanford Levinson, who has a doctorate, I'm trying to think what his doctorate is in, history, political science, law. He's been around a long time, very highly thought of. So anyway, Sanford Levinson took him up on the debate, which is, like I said, highly unusual in itself. And they agreed to hold the debate at the University of Wisconsin, my alma mater,
right
in Madison, Wisconsin. And Madison, Wisconsin is known to be very far left. And so what's kind of surprising that this debate went off without a hitch. Nobody protested John Lott being allowed to speak in a debate at the University of Wisconsin. I mean, it says a lot about where we are in our society when it's big news that somebody on the right is allowed to debate without being shut down.
Yeah.
But that was news to me. I mean, right off. What? University of Wisconsin? They allow John Lott to actually debate? Man, that's a big deal. So, the debate turned out to be an exemplar in how you conduct a debate. There was no shouting. there was no histrionics. Nobody took off their shoe and pounded on the debate podium. I mean, it was an honest, legitimate debate.
Right.
And it's about an hour long. I watched it, and my first thought was, well, you know, I kind of got to watch this. It's part of my job, you know, because this is what I write about all the time. I wanted to see how they conducted themselves. But it actually was worth my time. And I have to say, the way it turned out, I think it gave a little bit of an edge to John Lott, because he was the first speaker and he was the last speaker. I don't think it was planned that way. It's just that it went on a little bit longer, and so the moderator cut it short. And he said, hey, we got to wrap this up. Sanford Levinson was answering a question. And he said, well, can you just give your remarks, at the end here of the question, and then I'll let Lott give his, ending remarks. So Lott got to speak the first and the last. But that's not a huge advantage. It's an advantage, but it's not enormous.
Right.
And so what you see here, to me, it was a classic contrast of John Lott giving his empiricist, just a purely, almost entirely pragmatic view of why the Second Amendment was a good idea,
right?
Versus Sanford Levinson, who basically said, and I'm paraphrasing, it was more nuanced, and I mean, you know, you have to watch the debate if you want to get all the nuances,
right?
But essentially said, well, you know, we shouldn't restrain government. Government has to do good stuff. If government's going to do good stuff, we shouldn't put restraints on it. Well, that's pure progressive ideology. And it's been shown to be wrong a lot of times. And, you know, when you're... So that's the way they approached it. Levinson said, we shouldn't have it because that was then, this is now, everything's changed, and because everything changes, the government has to change, and we should allow all the government all the power in the world, because restraining government's a bad idea. That's pretty much what he said. I'm paraphrasing.
Well, okay. Question, if I may. What is it about his thought process? And I don't know if you know this or not. This is just me thinking out loud. We have seen with governments across history, across cultures, whenever they get to that point where they are the all-powerful being, they get corrupt, they get really dangerous to their citizens, and then in time, they're either overthrown or they fall apart.
I think he just ignores all that. I mean, it's clear to me he is a true believer in progressive philosophy. If we just allow the experts to rule, everything will be wonderful.
Oh.
But that is shown empirically to be a bunch of hooey.
Yeah.
Because the politicians can always find an expert to promote whichever policy they want. Hitler didn't have any trouble finding people, experts, to promote the idea that getting rid of the Jews was a great thing.
Right.
You know, it's just this idea that there is a clear and obvious solution to problems that experts will implement is just not true. I mean, a classic case in today's society.
Well, I tell you what. Hold on right there. We're coming up on the first break. This article, along with 2,400 plus other articles, is available to you at amoland.com, where Dean writes exclusively right now. The archive, to say the least, is very, very impressive. Very impressive. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. We'll be right back.
What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning. At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
From the InvestUSA.org, on that microphone, this is Lock and Load, talking to Dean Weingarten, and we've been talking about this debate between Dr. John Lott and Sanford Levinson, and he got out there by showing his, he was showing his chops because he knows the details of the Dred Scott decision, which basically states black people weren't people, and if they were people, they would be able to carry guns with them wherever they went. And he sat back, apparently. I guess he thought that was a was that a slam dunk on John? I mean, what do you think that was?
It startled me that he brought that up, because it doesn't support his position. It
right.
supported John Locke's position. And I just got the impression that he brought it up to show everybody how well he knew the legal history.
Right.
Which was fine. I didn't have a problem with that. But it, if you are interested in the Second Amendment and the debate about, you know, whether it's worthwhile or not, I mean, after all, the subject of this debate was it a mistake? And that's certainly something that can be debated. I mean, it doesn't say whether we have it or now or not, or what the terms of it now are. It says, well, did they do the right thing by including it? And I thought that John Locke won the debate handily, mainly because he concentrated on practicality and, you know, what the results are, empiricism, essentially, where Sanford Levinson was more talking about, well, you know, it's, we need to decide differently now than what we did back in 1791, because times are different, and so we probably shouldn't hamstring the government like we did. I mean, that's the essential of what it's saying. So it was easy to understand, easy to watch, and it's a fine example of how a debate should be conducted, instead of whoever controls the loudest faction in the crowd and is able to shout people down.
Right.
Now, I have to admit, I was a little disappointed with the student questions. Now, my problem is I've been living and breathing this stuff for over 50 years.
Right.
So I know it backwards and forwards and upside down. And the students don't, because they're students. There's a reason for the term sophomore-ish. And maybe these students were sophomores. I don't know. But their questions were, how shall we say, unsophisticated. The answers given by Lawton and Sanford Levinson were very well thought out. I thought the answers were fine. But as the students were trying to put forward a question, and sometimes these were just the form of their opinion that they were trying to, you know, make a sort of question out of it. They were pretty unsophisticated, but the overall, it was a far better program to watch, in my opinion, than almost any hour-long TV show.
Well, that's only because Sanford didn't know when he was zinging himself, right?
Well, he came across as a sincere, knowledgeable professor who has accepted all the premises of progressivism, which most of which are false. You know, so you know, I was watching him, I thought, Sanford, you don't realize how much you don't know. And you know, so I mean, but he is obviously, he considers himself an honest person and who's trying to do the best thing for everybody in the country. And I thought John Locke, by the way, opened it up. He was the first speaker, and he opened it up with what I consider a brilliant tactic that I have used myself. And that was, he praised his opponent to the rafters. Sanford Levinson, a scholar's scholar, a legend in academia today. Yeah, I'm paraphrasing a little bit. Well, when you're debate opponent praises you like that, it's pretty hard to go after him with ad hominem attacks.
Right.
So I thought it was a very good opening by John Locke. And it's true. Sanford Levinson has written quite a few very, very good law articles in law journals, and it's highly thought of. So, you know, for people who are watching the debate, they can't say that he wasn't a worthy opponent to John Locke.
I don't know. John, you know, the thing about John Locke is John is always focused, and his focus is singular. He doesn't allow himself to be distracted by anything.
Well, the big thing with him is he is a master of fact. And while his fact might be questioned, you have to know the material really well to point out where it can be questioned. And Levinson obviously had not studied the statistical basis for what John put forward. So it was like two separate debates, and debates are often like that. Well, in a debate, you usually do not want to grant your opponent's assumptions about what you're debating. So a lot of times it's about who can be more persuasive to the audience about what the debate should be about. I think John Lott in this case was very convincing that the debate should be about what works, whereas Sanford Levinson was trying to convince people that progressivism is the way we should define our society. It's not as persuasive.
Yeah. Whenever, you know, I've been around one time. Somebody asked me one time, how come talk radio doesn't work whenever it's a leftist talking on talk radio? I was like, look at what you're selling. Look at what you're selling. And I mean, they never want, you know, they get out there and they believe government is the answer to everything. And that's just not the American way. I mean, I'm sorry to put it that way.
I think most people in the United States have enough personal experience with government to realize that's not a foregone conclusion. It's not an assumption you should make. They know government can screw up and mess things up and do things worse than the private sector. Now, it's not always true.
Right.
Some people say it's always true. But the fact is, we need a court system. We need a highway system. We need ways to punish people without just killing them, you know, a prison system. So there are legitimate functions of government. It's just that we've let them get out of hand.
Hang on right there, if you will. We're coming up on the next break. This article is at MLN.com. If you want to look at Dean's archive, which is really, really quite a, that's something where you get out there and you're going to have to be quite brave to do that. You would go to all contributors at the bottom and click on it. Dean's about midway down on the left-hand side. And there you will find 2,400-plus other articles. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Fusing the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
Operate. At Staccato, we know there's no such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At Staccato, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in the gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. Staccato2011.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
USA News Update. Donald Trump will not get a change of venue for his hush money trial upcoming in New York. Trump's attorneys couldn't convince appeals judges that Trump might not get a fair trial in New York City. President Biden unveiled his administration's initiative to enhance the affordability of child care and senior care. Speaking in Washington, D.C. Tuesday, he emphasized that the current cost of care is excessively high, while the compensation for care workers remains inadequate.
Care workers and caregivers are critical to our families and to the entire economy.
The president's latest budget proposal proposal encompasses measures such as expanding paid family leave, reducing child care expenses, and extending the child care tax credit. Norfolk Southern has agreed to pay a $600 million settlement to address class action claims arising from the February 2023 train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. The railroad clarified that the settlement does not imply any admission of wrongdoing or liability. John Schaefer, USA News.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back. This is Lock and Load on the InvestUSA.org. Mike talking to Dean Weingarten, and now we're going to go to where he is the specialist in this. This is where we start talking about man versus bear. So tell me about what happened in Michigan back in the early days.
In the 1960s, early 1960s, and I've developed as the research into the how effective pistols are in defending against bears has progressed. And it started off with a simple question a few years ago, and then it's just ballooned. I have developed sources that will refer me to incidents that I can then research and figure out if they're reasonable to include. Because there's a lot of just stories out there. You know, my uncle's cousin's brother, you know, he had a friend who shot a black bear back in Arizona in 1940 or so, or maybe it was 50, I don't recall. You know, that doesn't meet the criteria that we put forward, which is the incident has to have a place and a time and a person involved and a brief description of what happened. And if we can put that together credibly, then we can include it in the database. And, you know, it's hard. We don't generally say that you have to have written documentation, because we do some from interviews with people who it happened to. And this case is a little further out, but there's so many details about it that are corroborated in other ways that I believe it deserves inclusion. So what happened is this incident happened to the father of the person I interviewed. And the father's name was James Albert Merrily. I think I'm pronouncing it close to correct. And he is a historical figure. I found his obituary. I found other things about him. There's there are numerous details about his life that are available. And he was a very well-known enthusiastic hunter and fisherman and woodsman in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan for decades. Unfortunately, he died in 2022, so I was unable to interview him directly. But he was also a writer, and he wrote a number of stories in hunting magazines. I haven't been able to find them, but there's no question that he did. And this incident happened in the early 1960s on the Montreal River on the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And the Montreal River is a wild river. It is not easily navigated. There are very few people who live around it. And James Mayerly, who this incident happened to live only about a half hour's drive from the approximate position on the Montreal River where this incident happened. What happened was he was fishing on the river, which makes perfect sense for an enthusiastic fisherman who lives within 15 miles of the river in the 1960s. And he also had purchased a Ruger single six 22 revolver with interchangeable cylinders. So, I will read from his son. His son's name's Jim, and I talked to him extensively and interviewed him. I'll read what he wrote happened. And it was in the early 60s, so his father was fishing. He said he was walking along the river when he noticed a small cub. He stopped and looked around, immediately realized he had inadvertently ended between the cub and the sow. He started backing away from both of them, and the sow started advancing on him. He put some distance between them, but she wouldn't stop, despite him yelling and waving his arms to warn her off. When he realized she wasn't backing down, he drew the Ruger, which he had the 22 Magnum cylinder in, by the way, and waited until it was quite close before he fired. It was a very good shot. So I have no doubt he wanted to make sure he could hit where he's aiming. The bear went down, as I described, I being the sun in this case, and it was dead right there, just dropped dead, bam, down. He then took the cub and wrapped it in his jacket. It was a small bear cub, put it in the trunk of his car, not sure what to do with it, and not wanting to just leave it to die out there, he brought it to a local bar where some of his friends were to show them the cub. This was in the 1960s.
Right.
One of them tried to pet it, but it chomped his finger pretty good. He took it home to his parents' house and let it loose in the cellar for the night where it made a lot of noise, from what he said. Then the next day, called the DNR, Department of Natural Resources, about it. They suggested he release it at a local dump where a mother with some cubs had been seen frequently. He did, and sometime after he heard this mother bear had an additional cub hanging around with her and the others. So, having grown up only a couple hundred miles away from where this happened, everything about it sounds perfectly rational and reasonable and expected for the time and era. I absolutely can believe that someone who had to shoot a sow black bear that had a little cub would put it in the trunk of their car and then show their buddies at a local tavern. I mean, it just rings truth from everything I remember growing up in the area. So I also contacted a cousin of mine, not Jim Merrily's, who spent most of his adult life within probably 30 miles, 30 to 40 miles of where this happened. He worked in Houghton, Michigan. And it so happened that his father-in-law had a hunting property, a large one, 3,000 acres. And they were on there in sometime about, well, it was 1972 in the summer, and there was a big black bear that just would not leave. And his wife, they had young children, his wife went out to use the outhouse one night, and the black bear was between her and the outhouse and wouldn't back down. So he took his savage 99-300 Savage and went out and shot the bear because it would not leave. What this shows you is that black bears could reasonably be a problem in the area, and that people did shoot them, and it, in that way, it rather corroborates this story that James merrily recounted to his son. So I think it's well enough documented to include in the database. And it has an interesting part. It's one of only a couple we have where somebody used a 22 Magnum pistol to defend themselves, or a revolver. So I thought it was a very good story, and I believe it to be reasonably accurate. There's nothing in the story that's extraordinary. Most of the time, most black bears will run from humans. But every now and then, you get one that won't take no for an answer.
Right.
And there are several included in the database where the bear just keeps on coming up closer and closer. Well, do you wait until they bite you? Do you wait until they claw you up? Or when they get within 5 or 10 feet, prudent people shoot them and they're no longer a threat. It's not as though black bears are not common. They are not endangered. There's hunting season on almost every state that has them. They're a renewable resource, a game animal, and it makes more sense to take out these omnivores that can threaten human life if they show they're not afraid of people. Take out the ones that aren't afraid of people, the ones that are survive, and everybody is happier. So that's that case up there, and I'm hoping that I might get some more. I asked the son if there were any diaries or manuscripts, and he said that he hadn't found any yet, but he hadn't looked very hard. I mean, his father only died 2 years ago.
Right. Hang on for me, if you will. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized. My lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Time on the firing line. On the investusa.org microphone, this is Lock and Load. I'm talking to Dean Weingarten. We're going to go hear another story about some bears real quick. This is a different bear and everything else. And it's not so much about the bears, it's about being prepared for the bears. Now, I'm surprised this is actually something gets done. I know why they do it in Israel, for example, but I don't know why you would do that when you're out there with Yogi the bear that might want to eat you.
Well, this is I was kind of surprised when I started running into this as well. And what it's about is that there are people, a fair number of them, who believe that when you're out in the woods with a long gun, you should carry it with an empty chamber. That is, you have to chamber around before you can shoot it. And they claim this is a safety measure that should always be followed and that it's for safety. Well, there are obviously hunting situations where it doesn't make any sense at all.
Right.
I mean, if you're hunting upland birds or rabbits, if you carry your gun around with an empty chamber, you're not going to shoot many rabbits or upland game because the birds will be gone by the time you get the gun up. Now, that's not always the case. If you've got a good pointing dog, you can watch the dog. And then, when the dog starts acting what we call birdie, you could chamber around then. But when I grew up in the Midwest, out in northern Wisconsin, when people were out hunting, I didn't know of anyone who would hunt with an empty chamber. When you got to where there might be game, you chambered around. And you were extremely careful with muzzle discipline where you pointed the muzzle. And you almost never, I mean, now there are exceptions, but you almost never see people carrying a handgun around with an empty chamber. And partly is because handguns have developed really good safeties to prevent them from going off if they are dropped, and excellent holsters, which render them safe to carry with a loaded chamber. And so it's not much of an issue in many places, but in some places, there's sort of a European and I would say Canadian and even guided Alaskan culture that has grown up that you never load the gun until the game is in sight or, until you're going to be ready to shoot. Well, of course, the problem with carrying a gun for self-defense is if you knew all the time when you were going to have to shoot, you'd just avoid the situation and you'd never get into a self-defense situation.
Right.
So, in this article, I write about a particular instance where there's some, I believe they're federal fish and wildlife workers doing a count of fish on a stream in Alaska. And there are three of them, and at least two of them are carrying shotguns for defense against bears. Now, if you're carrying a shotgun for defense against bears, my argument would be that the chamber ought to be loaded. But there appears to be an Alaskan game and fish and game, not Alaskan, but a federal fish and game policy of some kind that says, no, you have to carry it with an empty chamber. Well, that just seems crazy to me. But in this case, the person who was in the lead had a shotgun slung over his shoulder with an empty chamber. And he heard, and here's what he said. I remember looking over my shoulder and I was saying something to the people behind him, them, when I heard, kind of heard the bushes crashing. And that's when I looked up and looked over towards where the sound was coming from, he said. I couldn't even really see it at first because the brush was pretty thick. But about 20 feet away, this bear comes charging out of the brush at full speed. Now, consider what's going on here. Now, we've got lots of time, and this probably happens fairly fast. But he actually has quite a bit of warning. There's a lot of crackling and crashing of brush. He realizes it's coming from a particular location. He looks over toward that location, and then he's surprised when a bear comes busting out of it, running at him full speed. So he actually had warning. But the way he puts it next is, Coulthard said, it happened so fast and without any, you know, warning at all. Normally, when they're defensive of their territory, they let you know, he said. They get all huffy and puffy and they start popping their jaw and making a lot of noise. And there was absolutely none of that going on. So it was kind of a unique situation. Well, as somebody who studied bear attacks and how they happen, a very large number of the people who get mauled because it's a surprise attack at close range and heavy cover. So his idea, his preconception that bears put on all this threat display before they charge you doesn't always work that well. Very often, they just charge you and you never notice them until they're charging you. But he had the warning in terms of the crashing brush. You're up in Alaska. You're on a game trail alongside a river. There's a big animal. There's a big something crashing a lot of brush. It's probably not a human. It's coming toward you. So what does that leave? Almost certainly it is a bear or a moose. Either one of them is very dangerous if they decide to take you on. Common sense would say you should have your gun loaded and pointed in the direction of the threat. But the shotgun was slung on his back with an empty chamber. You normally, when you have an 870, which almost certainly these were 870s, that are the most common shotgun in these situations. Pump shotgun.
Right.
You don't normally carry it with the release press so that you just grab the pump and pump her up. Because since you normally carry it with the barrel up, the weight of the fore end will tend to gradually open the chamber and expose it with the bolt going back and opening that up. And you get twigs in there, dirt, whatever. And so normally you just fully close the chamber and that locks it in place. Well, so then when you take it off your shoulder, you have to find the lock release, or you can dry fire it. That works too, but you have to know that. If you practice really, really hard, you can get that down so it only adds another second or two. But if the bear's coming out of heavy cover 20 feet away, you don't have an extra second or two. If you'd had the gun in your hands with the chamber loaded so that all you had to do is flip the safety off and shoot, that's often done in well under a second. With a little practice, you can probably do it about a half a second or less. but if you've got to get the gun off your shoulder and then press the bolt release and then work the action and then bring it back up to your shoulder and shoot, it takes at least an extra couple of seconds and very likely 6 or 7 extra seconds if you haven't practiced. So what happened? Polkart grabbed his gun from a sling on his back, tried to load the chamber. To me, that says he was fumbling with the bolt release. Okay. But the bear was faster than he was, so he jumped to the side to get his upper body and head out of the way. So he had time to jump to the side. To me, that says if he'd had a loaded gun, he'd had time to shoot.
Right.
He jumped to the side in the hopes that Wallach, who was also armed, the guy behind him, could get in a shot. And that's when the bear reached down and just kind of chomped me right above my kneecap, Polkart said.
Goodness.
And the bear was just shaking me around by a leg. And as I was just laying there, as it got me, just yelling, shoot it, shoot it, shoot it, shoot it, as fast as I could say it. So the guy behind him, because the point man, his buddy who couldn't get the shotgun in action,
hey, Dean,
bought him several seconds worth of time.
Yeah. We're going to have to pick this up at the end of the week. We'll have to pick this up at the end of the week because we've run out of time. As usual, thank you for joining me today. I hope the eclipse was more for you than it was for me. It was very underwhelming for me.
Yeah, it wasn't overwhelming here either, and I was busy, and I have seen one before, so it just wasn't as important for me to see it.
There you go. So you can find his stuff at Amoland. Well, over 2,400 other articles there. As for me, I'll be back in about 21 hours between now and then. Remember this, it has never been about gun control. Not once, not ever. It has been, it's always going to be about total control. This has been Lock and Load.
Darren Tactical Innovations is the ultimate one-stop shop for all your competition, law enforcement, and military needs. Home of the Weapons of Wick. Now featuring the new Pit Viper. Darren is the one who trained the one, and he is Hollywood's go-to for taking the weapons and training to the next level. His legacy of championship wins, spanning across decades, is due to his uncompromising dedication to perfection. These innovations are now offered to you at DarrenTactical.com.
At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high quality distance education using time tested materials and hands on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing.
Go to MGS.edu.
MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only 2 documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.